Good evening and welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode number 84. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, and it has been, without a doubt, absolutely the most beautiful days that we've had so far this spring over the last couple days. It has been sunny and clear, but yet it's been cool as well and a little bit breezy and just absolutely perfect hiking weather. Unfortunately, it doesn't look as though I'm going to be going hiking anytime soon, but it's just one of those days that make you wish that you could just get out there on the trail and hike. Now, I have been walking home from work, have continued to do that, and the weather has been phenomenal for it. So I really, really enjoy that. This has been an eventful week. It actually has been, mostly eventful just because I've been so incredibly busy over the last 7 days, busy at work and so forth. But also on Saturday was the premiere of the new Tom Harris Live show over on United Kingdom Radio. I hope that all of you will tune in to that show. Now, we are going to be every Saturday from 10 a.m. Central Time, which is 11 a.m. Eastern, and 4 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. So if you're in the UK, it'll be at 4 p.m. And this was the very first live show, and it's the first time I've ever done a live radio show, other than my music show that I did a few years ago. Oh, yes, I have experience doing, you know, real radio, too. But it was an interesting experience, and, of course, it didn't go entirely smoothly. There were some, you know, technical things that were a problem. I had some difficulty getting onto Skype. But, you know, it's those things that make you better. You know, it's those things that make you prepare better and to know what the potential problems are. But once I got everything working, which didn't take too long, probably the first 5 minutes of the show where it was most disorganized. But once you got on the air, things were fine. Now, unfortunately, I did something really, really stupid. And it wasn't during the show. It was after the show. And what it was I had set up my recording software, the same recording software that I record this program on, and had set up the software to automatically record the show as I did it. And it did, obviously. It recorded the show all the way to the end. And at the end of the show, I stopped the software, and I was going to come back to it in a few minutes and you know, do whatever I needed to do to get it ready to broadcast. And at some point during this whole post-show time, I accidentally deleted the program without saving it. So the show was lost and I didn't have any of it left. And it kind of unfortunate, but fortunately I actually do now have the last 15 minutes or so of the program. And the reason why that is because early on the show, I would say about 10 minutes into the show, our friend Scott Mitchell from Scott Podcast called in. And he had, been chatting with me, he and his grandson. They played the animal game, or his grandson cheated in the animal game. Ooh, that's terrible, isn't it? But, you know, had a nice little chat and so forth. And then he went away, and eventually he had to go away. He had to leave the house and go and do something. And so he set up his computer to record the ending of the show so that he wouldn't miss anything. And that's what everybody should do, obviously. And as it happens, that's the only bit of the show now that survives, would be that last 15 minutes. Now, I'm going to put this 15 minutes of show on the end of this podcast. And the reason why I'm going to do it that way, I thought about just kind of posting it by itself on the RSS stream with a little bit of explanation as to what happened and why the rest of the show wasn't there, etc. But I kind of figure, okay, well, why not just tack it on to episode 84 and we'll see. So this show may run a little bit long, which is fine with me. Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to complain overly much about the show being a few minutes long. Then at least people will be able to hear the last quarter hour of this 1 hour show. Now, having done that first show, it's like a huge weight off my shoulders. It really is. All the preparation that went into it, all of the stress that went into it, you know, having to go out and buy new equipment, which is mainly was bought for the live show. And also just kind of not knowing what to expect, how things would go, whether people would call. The fact that I had two callers on the show was excellent. But of course, you know, I would want many more callers. I would like to have enough callers to fill up the entire show if possible. And that's kind of the ideal, is to have one caller after another and be able to discuss. Because that show really is about sharing thoughts with you and about you sharing thoughts with me and having a dialogue back and forth. And that's very unlike something that I would do on this show, because this show really is kind of about what I think. And it's kind of my little bully pulpit. But I really hope that those of you out there will call in and enjoy a chat and maybe play some of the games. So anyway, enough of that. Even though this show is not a live show, you can still participate. You can send an email or an audio clip or whatever to my email address, which is tom@tomharrisusa.com. So I'm wondering how many people happen to catch the Paul Edwards show on Monday the 26th. Now, I caught the last half of it, and the reason why I missed the first half is because I was at lunch, but that's kind of irrelevant. Was not impressed. Paul had a gentleman on his show, who's a good friend of his, somebody he's known for many years, who is working as a psychic. Now, those of you who are longtime listeners to the show know that I am very critical of psychics. I'm very skeptical about any psychical claims. There's a very good reason for that. And the reason why is because I've known many people who claim to be psychic. I used to be very interested in the topic. I've done a lot of studying about it. I've seen a lot of this psychic stuff firsthand. But I have never seen an iota of evidence that any of this is true, that anybody has any kind of psychic ability whatsoever. And I'm not the only one who's observed this fact. I'm you know, far from the only one who's ever observed this fact. And I think that in this sort of the psychic world, this weird little world, you really basically have two kinds of psychics. Those who know that they don't have any abilities and just use this as an excuse to, you know, separate people from their cash. And those who sincerely believe that they do have abilities. So basically the greedy and the deluded. Because I've never seen any evidence that anybody has any psychic abilities. Now, what I found really interesting about this guy who was on Paul Edwards' show, and I believe his name was Dennis something. One of the things I noted about what he was saying, he used a lot of weasel words, as Scott would put it, a lot of excuses as to why maybe his powers wouldn't work, and among that was the old idea about the spirits not being receptive to the negative vibrations of an unbeliever. Now, he didn't put it in those exact words, but that was essentially what he was saying. What he did say was this, that if you go into a reading expecting nothing, then you're going to get nothing. Now, of course, what does that tell you right there? He's telling you flat out that the only value in what he's selling is the value that you ascribe to it. It tells you that you're being prepared here by somebody who is selling a product that doesn't exist. That the product doesn't exist because you don't believe hard enough. And that if you believe in the product, then it'll be efficacious. It'll work for you. If you believe in the healing touch, you'll be healed. If you don't believe in the healing touch, you won't be healed. It's an excuse I've heard many times before from different psychics, but it really struck me that he mentioned that, and sort of almost in the same breath had mentioned the whole idea of using your imagination when you're going into a reading. Why would you need imagination if this is real? And this is sort of my main point that I'm making right here. Things that are real work whether you believe in them or not. Gravity is real. If you don't believe in gravity, that doesn't mean that you're suddenly going to be able to leap off the ground and fly like Superman. It has nothing to do with belief. Things that are real work whether you believe it or not. Let's take another example. Aspirin. Aspirin is a proven analgesic. It's been proven by thousands of studies to be an effective analgesic. Now, it doesn't work equally on all people, as any medication. You know, things vary between individuals. But aspirin works whether you believe in it or not. And anything that's real is going to work whether you believe in it or not. So if you go into a psychic and they say, well, your vibes are too negative, so the spirits are not going to be responsive. What they're really saying is they know that what they're selling is a bunch of hooey. And the only way that they're going to be able to sell you this product is if you're gullible enough to buy what they're selling you. And if you're not receptive to their message, they don't want you there. There's a reason for that. People who think critically are not welcome at these places where psychics operate. They recognize what cold reading is. They know the techniques that psychics use to make money off people. They're going to recognize these patterns and they're going to call them on it. So they don't want any of that. They're going to run away. And they're going to encourage those who do believe in their hooey to run away from you. Now, this doesn't just happen with psychics. This happens in many other venues as well. But particularly in these areas that rely on hooey, or woo, or pseudoscience, whatever you want to call it. It relies on people discouraging the followers from hanging out with people who don't believe, because that stands to bite into their profits. It stands to bite into their power. It's as true for psychics, though, as it is for religion. I certainly viewed this firsthand back during the late 70s and early 80s, back when I was a Christian, back when I was involved in Christianity. And, you know, people often tried to dissuade me from hanging out with the people in my life who were not Christian, because they were afraid that I would backslide, that I would lose my faith, lose my religion by being exposed to ideas that they didn't approve of. And it's exactly the same thing that with the spiritualists and the psychics and all that stuff. So this is nothing new. So, of course, they'll come up with reasons, with rationales of why you shouldn't pursue a rational path, why you shouldn't believe the doubters. And a lot of it comes down to, well, they're obviously jealous because the psychics have this special power and they don't. That's one excuse I've heard. Another one is, well, the devil is working through them. The devil is working through them to try to drag you down to hell with them. That's another excuse I've heard. But it's all the same thing. They don't like it when people come in and challenge their authority, challenge their claims. They don't like that at all. If what they were selling was real, then that wouldn't matter, because real things really work. They don't rely on faith to be effective. Let's take Reiki, for example. It seems to me that, you know, from the conversation that I heard, and Dennis was talking to Paul, that most of Reiki has to do with the setting, with candles and incense and making people feel comfortable, getting them into a more relaxed setting. And then being gentle and kind to them and touching them lightly. Yeah, that doesn't mean that what they're doing actually works. But if you're taking somebody who is stressed out and upset, and you put them in a comforting setting, and you put them in a frame of mind that is going to take them away from what their stress is, whether it's a, you know, disease or whatever, then that can't help but make them feel better. And the pseudoscientists, you know, the Reiki people and all that stuff, yeah, they know that. And that's probably one of the things that they really teach. Now, I haven't taken a Reiki attunement course. And obviously, I'm not going to take a Reiki attunement course because, you know what? I'm already a Reiki master. I can already do what they do. I don't need an attunement course. I'm a Reiki master already. I can make a comfortable setting and light candles and light incense and play soft music. And I can wave my hands over them and be kind to them and speak to them reassuringly and be gentle and be a kind person, because I am a kind person. And maybe they'll feel better. But that doesn't mean that I'm manipulating some sort of mystical energy field and healing them. I could set myself up as a Reiki master right now and, you know, there'd be nobody out there who could tell me that what I'm doing is wrong, other than, of course, the fact that I have ethics, and I would never do such a thing. But is Reiki malpractice even possible? Look, there's no energy field that's being manipulated here. You don't have to be attuned to anything. There's nothing there. Now, I can hear the retort here. Well, Reiki's harmless. It doesn't do any harm. Well, yeah, that's probably true. It probably doesn't do any harm. Unless you think of ripping people off as being harmful, which I do. But the actual practice of you know, lighting the candles and making people feel comfortable and waving your hands over them and even touching them lightly. No, that's not going to hurt them. You know, homeopathy isn't going to hurt you physically either, but the only thing that it's going to accomplish for you is separating you from some cash, which of course is the whole point of this stuff. This is big business. People pay hundreds and thousands of dollars on these fake healing things. It's astounding. And what I don't get is how people somehow think that ripping people off is harmless. It's not harmless. You're taking advantage of people for monetary gain and offering them nothing of value in return. And nobody worse than the so-called mediums. I've talked about that in previous shows. So I want to set the record straight here. I'm not completely closed to the idea of special abilities or whatever being possible. I am saying that I've never seen any evidence of this. And until somebody can actually provide evidence of that, I'm going to continue to be a skeptic, and I'm going to continue to speak out against those who make money off of people's gullibility. But let's be very clear here. Things like ESP and acupuncture and homeopathy and Reiki and all of these non-scientific practices, crystal healing, color therapy, aromatherapy, all of these things have been investigated and tested time and time again using real science, real scientific method, double-blind studies, triple-blind studies, and all of these things have failed every single time. And the reason they fail is because they're not effective. This isn't a matter of minds being closed. This is a matter of the case being closed. Let's just use Reiki as an example, because I just happen to have been talking about that. There's an article in the scientific journal, the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine, and this is from 2009. The study says, pretty plainly, that Reiki cannot be proven to have any kind of effectiveness in the treatment of any condition whatsoever. The report cites 9 scientific studies of Reiki that were concluded between 1999 and 2009. That's pretty definitive, folks. It doesn't work. So I just want to touch, kind of closing here. I'm going to touch on this whole idea of perceived value. This is a discussion that I've had a little bit with Scott Mitchell from the Scott podcast. And Scott's argument has been that as long as the person who is paying for the service finds some value in the service, whether it's real or not, then it's okay. As long as they find some value in it, then it's all right. Well, let me ask you a hypothetical question here. Bring up a hypothetical case here. Suppose you bought a diamond necklace for your wife, $5,000 for a diamond necklace. Beautiful necklace, absolutely gorgeous, looks great on her, and she loves it. Man, you're in good with your wife for years. And about 5 years later, you find out that this diamond that you paid for is a piece of glass. It's not a real diamond at all. Are you going to turn around and say, oh gosh, well, you know, but it looks, you know, it made her happy, and it's so good, I got my money's worth? Look, I guarantee you that you wouldn't. You would go and you would go back to the whoever you bought this necklace from, and you would get your money back because they defrauded you. There's a reason why we have laws against fraud. Perceived value doesn't mean that much if what you're getting isn't real. And in the case of these psychics and these mediums and so forth, what you're getting isn't real. At best, it's a few minutes of entertainment. And it doesn't matter whether you feel better about it when you pay your money to them or not. The fact of the matter is you're being sold a bogus diamond necklace. You think you're getting a message from beyond. You think that you're, you know, getting some hidden knowledge that only the psychic can impart to you. Maybe you think you're being sold attunement to the Reiki energy. But what you're getting is a piece of glass. You're getting something worthless, and you're paying a heck of a lot of money for it. I almost guarantee you. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and sign off. The email address, if you'd like to send your hate mail or comments, anything, of course. I always like hearing from people. The email address for the show is tom@tomharrisusa.com. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and close out the show. Thanks for listening. And I'm going to go ahead and play the last 15 minutes of Tom Harris Live. I hope you enjoy it. If anybody else out there actually has the rest of the show recorded, please let me know, because it would be nice to get the entire thing up online. And, of course, don't forget to tune in for the next live show, which is going to be every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and 4 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Feel free to call in and chat about whatever you want. You can even chat with me about homeopathy and Reiki if you so prefer. I'm always happy to get calls, and it helps the show go so much faster, doesn't it? At any rate, have a great week. Hopefully I'll talk to you Saturday. The last 15 minutes of the program will be the Tom Harris Live clip. It does kind of begin and end rather abruptly, so be aware of that. Immediately following the closing credit music, so stay tuned. This is Tom in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, signing off. We'll see you next time. And she said, women can't lift heavy boxes, because if they do, their uterus will pop out. And I just thought that was the funniest thing. And, of course, I don't dare laugh, yeah, because it's my boss. You know, I can't actually say anything. But it's the first time I've ever heard of that. Now, obviously, it's not true. Obviously, it's not true, because otherwise you'd be hearing about women with their uterus popping out constantly. But can you imagine, you know, so you pick up a heavy box and your uterus pops out. So what amusing misconceptions about the human body have you heard? I'd like to hear about that. I have a Skype message here from Paul Edwards. All right. Cool. Thank you, Paul. Paul, if you want to call in, please feel free. I've always been hearing good things on your show. But anyway, other misconceptions about the human body. Have you ever been told when you were a kid, were you told when you were a kid about the gum tree growing in your stomach? Have you ever been told that if you swallow chewing gum, that you'll grow a gum tree in your stomach? Or if you eat an apple core, that apple seeds will sprout in your stomach and a tree will grow out your mouth. You'll have apples. I would quite like that, actually. I would. But what other misconceptions about the human body are your favorites? I happen to like the one about if you eat an apple core, an apple tree will grow in your stomach. I happen to know that that's not true, because I've tried, because I love apples. And being able to grow my own apples in that way would be awesome. But, of course, I haven't been able to do that, because it's not true. The other one, another one I heard was about sneezing. And I've been told, and I don't think this is true either, that if you can sneeze with your eyes open, your eyes will pop out. Now, I've never heard of anybody having their eyes pop out because they sneezed with their eyes open. And just as I've never heard of people having their uterus pop out. I just find that endlessly amusing. Maybe it's my juvenile sense of humor, and maybe not. But anyway, once again, you can Skype in. That's the whole point of the show, is to Skype in. And the Skype address is United Kingdom Radio. Now, you can also email the show, but I won't read the emails on the air because I'm not actually logged in. You can actually email me at my email address, which is tom@tomharrisusa.com. And it's always good to hear from people. Now, I will read your emails if you send me any emails on my website. I will read them out on the next show. So next Saturday, I'll read them out on the show live. And hopefully you can call in. Another question. Have you ever climbed up a live volcano? We talked about that earlier. I'd like to hear about if anybody has. Now, it's amazing, you know, you hear a lot of people, a lot of this gloom and doom going on right now, because it seems like there have been more volcanic eruptions, more earthquakes, more disasters this year than in prior years. But is that really true? Well, I was just reading that the number of volcanic eruptions and earthquakes this year have not been any more than any other year. And that's not really very surprising, because earthquakes, volcanoes, disasters of that nature happen all the time. It's just they don't happen in highly populated areas in the way that they've been happening this year. Because earthquakes happen every day. We just don't hear about it. A lot of them are below the ocean, so we don't feel them in populated areas. But people tend to go all crazy about these things, and they, you know, the sky is falling, the world's gonna end. And it's one of the things that, that psychics do as part of their psychic predictions. I've talked on my show an enormous amount about psychic predictions. I've talked about the whole psychic thing on my show a lot, because debunking psychics is something that I've done for a long time. And I would love to be one of those people to call up Paul Edwards' show when he has his psychic friend on there. Because I have met many people in my life who have claimed to be psychic, but I've never met anybody who actually was psychic. And I don't believe that psychics actually exist. And people who claim to be psychics, I view it this way. If somebody claims to be psychic, either they truly believe that they are psychic and they have a psychic gift, or they know that they're not psychic and are misleading people. And unfortunately, I think that most psychics know that they're not psychic and that they're simply misleading people. But I think that there are people out there who believe that they actually have the psychic abilities. And of course, in that group, you would have people who actually believe that they're psychic and pretend to talk to people. I think that most people take psychics way too seriously, because it really is a scam. I mean, it really is a way to make money. And I will say, you know, if anybody claims to be a psychic, my first thing is to say, well, do you make money off this? Because if they do, then chances are they're not really psychic. And actually, I don't think anybody is really psychic. It's just about whether they believe they're psychic or not. But my mom was part of a cult that was led by a psychic. And this is back in the 70s. And they had, you know, all these so-called psychics, you know, that have these big organizations and so forth, feed upon the sort of sky is falling mentality, such as the fuss that you're hearing about earthquakes and volcanoes right now, because there have been some high profile earthquakes and volcanoes now. So one of the predictions that psychics make every year is how there's going to be so many earthquakes. There's going to be a record number of earthquakes and volcanoes. And they'll point to what happened this year with, you know, the earthquake in Chile, the earthquake in Haiti, the volcano in Iceland, and point to that and say, you know, our prediction came true. And in reality, of course, like I said, there has been no more of these events going on, these natural disasters and so forth going on this year than in any other year. It's just we're hearing more about it now. So anyway, I'd like to hear what people think about that. Again, the Skype address is United Kingdom Radio. This is a Skype in show, folks. I can't talk for an hour on my own. I have to have somebody calling in. but I do appreciate those who do call in. Okay. Once again, I'm going to go ahead and play the music clip again. In case somebody new has joined us and they want to play the Name the Riff game, the easy clip is as follows. And if you can identify that clip, you can Skype in and I'll talk to you about that, and you can move on to the medium clip. I was kind of hoping to have a few more calls, so I'm glad that Scott called in, because it's always good to hear from him. So anyway, I was talking about psychics. The whole idea of the psychics, a lot of it is what they call cold reading. And these are practices that have been used over hundreds and hundreds of years by people who are claiming to be psychic. And the idea is that you repeat back to the people who come to you exactly what you tell them. Oh, we have a call here. Hello on Skype. Hello? Hello? Is there anybody out there? Okay, well, Ross, I think you're going to have to try calling me back because I can't hear a word you're saying. All right, well, that was Ross Patzelt there being very, very quiet. There we go. Hello on Skype.
Hello on Skype.
Hey, Ross, how are you?
Sorry, mate, I forgot to set my mixer on.
Uh-oh. Oh, that's bad.
I'm stupid.
No, you're not stupid, Ross.
I am.
Okay, you are. So how are you, sir?
Can I play that game? The name the thing?
Name the riff.
Okay. Name the riff.
Okay, Ross Patzelt, name this riff.
I know what it is.
What is it? I need the name of the artist and the name of the song.
Name of the artist, Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
Name of the song, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Excellent. All right. Do you want to move on to clip number two?
Yep.
All right. Here's clip number two. Ross Patzelt, name that riff.
I got a clue.
You haven't got a clue?
No, no,
Oh.
Give me a clue.
I'll give you a clue. It's a European musical artist.
Hmm. That was a little help. Anything else? Come on.
There's a volcano in the country where they come from.
Oh, I don't know.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Excuse me.
Oh well.
I've had too many pains.
No more hints. We have to keep this up. Well, you got the first one though.
Yeah, but I want to know what the second one is. I'm intrigued to know now.
Should I play the clip again?
Yeah, go on.
Okay.
I don't know. That isn't even like I noticed the song at all. I have not got. And I'm a music geek. I normally get stuff like this.
Okay, I'll give you another hint. The show came from. The song came from 1990. I think in 1994.
This should be my era. I'm into that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just can you just play it? You got one time to play it one more time.
One more time.
Trying to get. I have not got a clue.
Okay, shall we give another contestant a try?
Yeah, go on.
All right, Ross, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to hang up with you, and we have somebody else who wants to play the game. So I'll talk to you soon, Ross.
Cheers.
Thanks for calling. And I'm calling up Paul here. I should really turn off the Skype sound. All right. right. Well, I guess Paul is not answering. Paul, if you would like to call into the show and play the Name the Riff game, would love to hear from you, sir. So Ross got the first clip, which is Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit, but has not gotten the second clip. And I'll play the second clip for you once again. If anybody else can identify that clip, please Skype in at United Kingdom Radio. I see that Paul Schweikart is listening. Hello, Paul. Always good to see you. Now, if you can get your microphone or whatever turned on, you can call in and chat. We only have... Oh, we're out of time! Oh, no! All right. Well, sorry about that. Well, hopefully, maybe, Paul, you can call in next week and hear what we have on the show next week and call in and talk. So I want to thank everybody who has been listening this week. Thanks to Scott Mitchell who called.